In today's episode, we have my sister friend Heather Hayes, and she's talking about her book that's 10 Secrets to Start Up for Female Entrepreneurs. And I'm telling you, this episode is absolutely fire. She's coming from a perspective that I have not seen many come from. And what I'm telling you is you will be blessed. So make sure you join in and tune into this episode, and I'll see you on the inside. If you are a Christian woman who has knowledge or expertise in an area and you feel called or led to share that information with other people, but you feel overwhelmed with trying to figure it all out, like how do you really get started? What do you really need to do? Which guru do you really need to listen to? And if the tech alone might be stressing you out, or you're trying to figure out where will I find the time to even try to be consistent with sharing the knowledge that you have, but you still know you want to help others grow because you know that they can grow, overcome, and become in some area of their life with the information that you have, there is absolutely a way for you to share your gift with the world without feeling stressed and overwhelmed, and by doing it on your own schedule, as well as still giving impact. I am Dr. T. I am a longtime educator. I'm a certified executive business coach. I'm a launch expert. I am a course building expert, and I am here with She Launches Podcast, where we're helping thousands of women across the world get started, because what I know is getting started is the most daunting part of launching a business, but it can also be the most rewarding if you have the right guidance, knowledge, and expertise. We're also going to be talking in this podcast about how you can take care of yourself, your own mental, your own self-care, because this is the most pleasing aspect that I believe God wants us to be in charge of. So it is time for you to launch. It is time for you to get started. And I hope to see you on the inside of the podcast. Hey there, everybody. This is your girl, your sister, and your mentor, Dr. T, coming to you with another episode from She Launches Podcast. I am here, you guys, with another rock star, because I tell you guys I only interview rock stars, my new sister friend, Heather Hayes. She's going to be talking to us about a book that she's just written called The 10 Secrets of Startup for Female Entrepreneurs. We're really going to get into this, you guys. She is a business owner. She has taken a business up over $1 million. She's going to talk to us about maybe some of the secrets of selling a business, but I know that's way premature. It's way premature. And you guys, get this. I did good this time on this particular interview because I did not start asking Heather a million questions before we got on live, because I wanted to make sure I saved all the juicy information for you guys. So make sure that you're ready to take copious notes. If you love it at the end, I'm definitely going to ask you to share with one of your sister friends. But I am excited to be here again. Make sure you go to shelaunchesit.com. There's some new things that are on there. You guys, I'm redoing that site, and it's about to be epic. And I'm really, really loving what we're doing. But my sister here, Heather Hayes. Heather, thanks for being here with us on She Launches. How are you?
I am wonderful. Thank you so much for having me. It's so nice to talk to you.
Oh my goodness. Like you said, we've been we've been talking just a little bit on email, and we have been, like you said, you've listened to some of my podcasts. You said you feel like you already know me. I'm one of those people that I think, you know, it's like once you meet them, it's like, oh, we're friends. We're long lost friends. Right.
Yes, I love that. That's wonderful.
Yes, yes, yes. So we are going to talk about your book, Heather. I'm trying to ask myself if I want to start by talking about your book, or if I want to start by talking about business stuff first. You tell me, which do we want to start with? What do you want? I'm going to give you the choice.
I think let's start with business stuff, because it will lead
Okay. So business stuff. And one of the things that I love is that we can connect, even though there's many of the same things we do. Heather, you guys, is also a female Christian entrepreneur, does a lot of work with women, does a lot of work with small businesses, does a lot of speaking. And we can still connect because I believe that there's room enough for in the kingdom for all of us, right? Regardless if we're doing the same thing. So tell me about, I like to talk, Heather, about the beginning stages of business, because it's the ugly part, because your book was really about the things. I think the subtitle was things you should wish you'd known before you started your business, right? So talk to us about what you're doing in business, what you were doing in business that actually kind of led to your book.
All right. So I had a business that, do you want me to tell you what that business was now or should we wait for the book?
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
Okay. So I am married to a filmmaker, which means we travel all the time. We go on location. And for the first 4 years of our marriage, he was gone all the time. I lived in Los Angeles. And then we had a child and we said, we have to be a family. We're traveling. So we're in this little rainy town, beautiful town, Lake Oswego in Oregon. And it rained every single day. And I had a 3-year-old and a 1-year-old. And I went to this indoor playground and it was like heaven. I mean, my kids could play. It was safe. It was clean. And then one time a woman brought out free coffee. And I thought, if I ever stay in one place for long enough, I'm going to open something for caregivers, for parents, for just kids to have fun. So that was the impetus for us moving to New Orleans and starting a business.
Okay.
And so that's how it all came about originally. That's like the really easy version of it. But what I learned was all the research I did and the things I listened to and the people I asked, until you're in it and you're going through it with someone who's already opened a business that has a significant startup fee and a cost, you can't get advice. You can't get advice from people who haven't been through it before.
I was asking people for
advice who were lawyers, which they gave me good advice, but they didn't start up a venue before. I asked people in my family who were bankers or businessmen, how do you do this? They didn't know all the little ins and outs that were going to trip us up eventually. So what happened was, I'm getting ahead of myself in the way that I'm going to say, I did sell the business. But what happened after that is what surprised me.
Okay.
Which led me to the book. So I sold the business because I felt like it wasn't quite doing what I wanted it to successfully. And when that happened, people out of the woodwork started asking me to coach them or mentor them in business. Really successful people who are opening businesses. And I thought to myself, why? Why are they asking me this? Don't they know I just sold it because it wasn't doing what I wanted to do? And so I had to really dig down deep and think, what did I learn? And so what I learned were these 10 things. And it's a very short read. It's a book you can read over the weekend. And it's really written. I call it my public service announcement for anybody who's in business right now and it's just not looking like what they want it to be. They think, I am failing. I'm drowning. I'm not taking care of myself anymore because I can't even take care of my business. It's for that person. It's also for the person that is thinking, gosh, I really want to start a business. I don't like my 9-to-5. This is terrible. I'm just going to do my own thing. It's not.
That's a terrible idea.
It's a terrible idea. It is not for the faint of heart. I believe
it is not.
I believe you can have an entrepreneurial mindset and not own a business. You can take
that
mindset.
Good.
Your job. You can take that mindset if you're a college student. You can take that mindset to your volunteer organization, but it doesn't mean you have to open a business.
Wait, you guys will preach all by itself. So we're going to go there. You said you believe that you can have an entrepreneurial mindset, but not necessarily go on the entrepreneurial journey. And now I know I'm one of the first ones to preach. I'm not the first one, but I preach too. It is hard being your own business. So tell me how you can have, for our listeners, Heather, how can you have an entrepreneurial mindset and stay working for someone else? Because I want to make sure that what you just said, which I think is so profound, is not lost on our people. How can you do that, but say, I don't necessarily want to go do this by myself?
Absolutely. So I would like to use the example of the film business because I know it very well. My husband's very successful. He has always been hired by a production company, let's say. But the way he goes about his job is completely different than any other person I witness. The first thing he does on the first day of every set, there's about 200 people. He gives everybody a name tag with their names. By week's end, he has memorized every single person's name. So now he has a whole crew behind him. He cares about them, and he's now made them care about him. What is that going to do? They're going to work harder. They're going to work faster. They're going to save money. They're going to be safer when they're doing stunts. They're going to create a team. They're not going to hate being there for 12 hours anymore because now they've created something different. So that's one example. Let's say you work in a corporate office and you think, oh my gosh, they own all my time. No, they don't. You have a lunch break, you can take other breaks. Maybe you tell yourself every day, I'm going to get up after 2 hours of working and I'm going to take a 20-minute power walk. And I'm going to take that call on the power walk. I'm going to pack my lunch so I'm eating healthy every day. I'm going to invest part of my paycheck. I'm going to use that money to fund my life in a way that nobody can tell me not to. You're thinking That's like good. An entrepreneur. You're being innovative. You're being creative. You're, yes, you have to work in certain time limits, but you're making it work for you. The problem with starting a business is that all of a sudden you have all this financial responsibility. And if you're not smart, you're working in your business and not on your business. Now Absolutely. You're just working a job and you're a business owner. And that's right. That's exhausting.
Right.
So I think that anybody, and I really look at kids in college, they can have the entrepreneurial mindset too, just how they use their time, how they approach different professors, how they look at their future. It's about ownership and not feeling stuck. That's a huge
That's
part
so
of
That's so good. I really like that. So you're saying you can still be innovative and work for someone else. You can still want to own your time and work for someone else. You can still want to pour into people and be working for someone else. You can still do all the things. You can still want to make more money, but still be working for someone else and maybe doing something on the side. There's a guy that I follow. He says he calls himself the employed millionaire. Right. Because he's like, let your job be your first business partner. Mm. Right. And you are speaking because this is not, you guys, it's not for the faint at heart. It is not for the faint at heart. And the finances are the one thing that literally, I mean, that's what separates the players from the spectators. And the amount of work that you do, you're probably going to work twice as many hours to get a fraction of the money when you start. Right. And there's just so many things that people don't consider. I just love that you say that. I feel like I gotta do something else with that because that's so good. You can have the entrepreneurial mindset, but you can stay on your job. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. So how long did you have that business, Heather, before you decided to sell it? Before you said this is just not going the way I want to go?
So I ran it for 5 years, and then I approached a business broker to sell it. And they said, there's absolutely no way. You cannot sell this business. But I had something, a huge blessing a couple of years earlier. I was part of the Goldman Sachs 10,000 Small Business Initiative. And they happen to have one in New Orleans. And so I went through their training program. It's a free training. It's all over the United States. It's absolutely fabulous. If you've never heard of it, got to Google it. It's amazing. And they taught us, you need to run your business like you're going to sell it. So I thought, well, what does that mean? Well, what it means is you get everything in order now today as if someone were going to come tomorrow to buy it. So I did that. I started making sure everything was up to date and Quicken. I made sure that all of our parties were entered in a special software. We had an employee handbook. We did everything was prioritized and strategized. And by the time we were going to sell, when they told me, oh, it's impossible, you'll never sell this, all I had to do was find someone who was emotionally invested in the business. They loved it and they bought it and it wiped out
all
my debt.
That's so good. That's so good. That
so you can't.
You see, I got my iPad pen right here learning. So that's good. That's good. That's good.
Yeah,
what were you going to say?
You can't do it. You just, when people tell you the rules are, this is how much money you have to make in the last 2 years to sell your business. You can't listen to that. You have to go the course and know that there might be a plan. Now you might not sell it. That is a reality. But my goal with the book is that people who are opening businesses that fail within 50% fail in 5 years ish.
Right.
I would love that number.
It's
to
more
be
than that. It's more than that. Oh God. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. I read somewhere like 90% after 10 years are gone. It's just, it's so many. And you look at the numbers and it's one thing, but when you think about the people behind the numbers, the heartache, the stress, the time,
absolutely,
the money lost, it's really heartbreaking.
Absolutely.
The other reason I wrote this is because I had a plan, but I also had financial backing. And so I thought, oh, I have a business loan. Oh, I have a little money saved. This has to go right because I have that. That's not true either. It's not true. Just because you have the money up front doesn't mean that all of your business planning expenses are going to go the way you think they're going to go. So a lot of times people would ask me, well, I mean, you had that loan. What happened? Well, what happened was our buildup became a nightmare and it went over by double. And when that happens, you can't plan for that. You plan for a little bit of that, but you don't plan for the whole thing. So the other reason I wanted to write this book, in hindsight, I had all these things that were going for me and it still didn't work. And so how can we make sure that that doesn't happen for somebody else who might not have that safety net? Because the safety net went out quickly.
Right. You guys, we're talking to Heather Hayes and she's talking to us about some of the startup secrets that she learned on her journey of a new entrepreneur. And I'm telling you guys, I have, for those of you who are listening, you can't see where I'm at, but I have my iPad pencil in my hand because I'm taking notes because I'm learning a lot from what it is he's saying. Heather, you are dropping so much knowledge. You actually answered my next question, which was, why did you decide to write the book? So my follow-up to that was, how long did it take you to write that book? And did you self-publish it? Did you do all the stuff? Did you pay a copywriter, a cover designer, all that type of stuff?
Okay, so I can answer all those things. So I wrote this really long, boring book. It was about 100,000 words and it was a snoozer. And then right now I'm in New Orleans, but I actually live right now in Honolulu, Hawaii. So it's really beautiful. So I take walks all the time. And I was listening to a podcast about what you need to do to self-publish a book in 2020. It was 2023 at the time. And so I listened to this woman and I just absolutely fell in love with her. I thought, oh, you're going to be my new best friend. I just know you are. And so what she said was, short is the new long. And so I took that 100,000 word document. I just took everything out of it and made it 20,000 words. And I made sure that each chapter had a story, a secret, a story, and a solution. Basically, that's how I did it. And so all the boring stuff came out, all the numbers came out. And I just talked like it was my best friend. Just talked about, this is what I would want you to know if you were my best friend. And so the very first thing, the very first secret, is your business plan has to reflect your life plan. Because how many times do we write a business plan thinking everything's gonna go perfectly, put ourselves in all these different situations that we're gonna help, you know, move the business forward, working 100 hours a week, and then you realize that is not sustainable. And not only that, it's not gonna work. You're not gonna make any money doing that.
Right.
So that's where I started. And from there, everything else was pretty easy to write.
Do you teach people how to write books short and sweet, quick?
Not yet. Maybe someday.
Well,
I love
you. You just literally gave a formula, secret, story, solution, and writing a book, you know, really fast. Like you, I did a podcast. I think it was at the time of this recording about a week or I don't know, in the 50s, a podcast episode about how to, you know, start a ebook in, you know, 20 minutes or less, because it's really simple. But I love the formula you have with that secret story solution. You have something in there. You have another book in you with that. I wrote that down. I'm giving you credit for it, everybody here. I'm giving Heather Hayes credit for it, and I'm absolutely going to steal it as my own after I give her credit like the first two times. But it is your credit, but I'm going to steal that because I love, you know what it is? It's simple. And like you said, short is the new long. And we have to, people don't want to, I do read longer books, but a lot of people want something quick and easy. And you guys, Heather, I bought your book before we got on. I got it. It's on my iPad right now. Cause I was looking at it, you guys. And so we're about to go in. Cause I was like, oh my God, this is speaking to me right here. So I want to ask you before I bring up a couple of the secrets that you have, which was your favorite secret and why? Bet you never been asked that question.
No, I haven't been asked that question. I think my favorite secret is self-care is good business.
Okay, tell me why.
Because if you don't care for yourself, you absolutely can't care for your business. During the course of 5 years, I ended up gaining 50 pounds. I got diagnosed with a very early cancer, which I'm fine. I'm absolutely fine. Thank you, Jesus. I'm not saying it's because of the business, but it is because I was not taking care of myself. I went from a very active, healthy lifestyle to not feeding myself nor sleeping because I had to work all the time and I had two little girls. So I wanted them to feel like they still had a mom around all the time. And then I would stay up all night doing my work. And it's not sustainable. It's not good for anybody around you. You're not a good example to your employees. And at the end of the day, that's never going to produce a healthy business.
You know what? I really want to speak to that really quickly because I think that there are some of us who are challenged by this notion of self-care. I'm one of them, even though I do a lot more self-care. I cut myself out after a certain time at night. I have a Sabbath day that I'm getting back to more like the whole day, making sure I'm winding down correctly at night, drinking water, you know, all the healthy stuff, lost weight, all that type of good stuff. But I think what we do is we kind of, I don't want to call it lie to ourselves, but I'm going to call it lie to ourselves. Because we say, okay, like you said, oh, I'm going to still do what I need to do for the little ones, but then you work yourself like a dog. Or I'm still going to do, you know, I'm still going to make sure that I'm doing this with my husband. I'm still going to, you know, go to church and serve my kids, but I'm still working like a dog, and there's no off. There is no off. It is when they go to sleep, this is time for me to do this part. And it's like, if God rested, if he said in 7 days he was going to rest, like it is, I think we lie to ourselves, Heather, because I think we keep a cape in our back pocket. I swear, I know a superwoman, we keep a cape in our back pocket. Do you feel like we do? Because I think mental health and self-care is definitely on buzzwords that are on the rise. But I think we try to say, that's not me. And then we wonder how you look up a year and a half later and you've gained 50 pounds. I'm the same way, how we look up and we're not healthy, how we look up and there's something going on. What are your thoughts on that?
I think that we think there's an award for being busy and saying, I'm so busy. Oh my gosh, I'm so stressed. I'm so busy.
She preaches. You preaching.
Part of all these organizations, I'm just so busy.
Lord and my God.
The end of the day, that is not something to be proud of anymore. Maybe it was back in the day. I don't know. I don't think it ever was, but I know that I was doing that.
Yes.
I had pride over how busy I was. And it did not help. It did not help my business. It certainly did not help my family, but I am the one who suffered the most. So I do think self-care is a buzzword. I think a lot of people are a little shy when they hear it. They think, well, why do I need that? Or they go the opposite way. They have a list of 10 things. Okay, these 10 things I'm going to do for self-care. I have a list in the book of things that you can do for self-care. If you're authentically doing them, I think they're helpful. But if you're just adding that to your busyness and crossing it off and ticking it off, it's not going to help you.
She is preaching. Do y'all hear what she's saying? Because you can literally put self-care. You speak into my spirit, and I receive this word. If I put self-care as a check mark on my list, then am I really doing self-care? Because it's really just a check mark. Okay, I laid down for 10 minutes. Check. Go to the next thing. Like, oh my God, that just, I'm convicted with that. That's so good, because it has to be authentic.
Yes.
You're absolutely right.
Because our hearts know the truth. And when we are just saying, oh, I'm going to stop scrolling at 10 o'clock and go to sleep, but then you're not really doing that. Maybe you're checking into your email one more time. I mean, we can try to trick ourselves, but we're too smart for that. So I think that we have to be authentic in every single thing we do. And we know, we can ask ourselves, is this really what I should be doing right now? I think that there's a phenomenon going on right now where mm-hmm. we're hearing all these things that we need to do. And then we're getting so stressed out about, are we drinking the right amount of water and the right kind of glass water bottle? Are we taking the right supplements? Are we taking enough supplements? Are we taking them from the right company? Are we doing this? Are we doing that? And it's creating more stress. I think yes. All of those things are very valid and wonderful, but we have to get back to basics. And I don't know when that's going to swing back. I feel like there's starting to swing back to basics. Certainly it's getting more popular, but it is a little overwhelming too.
No, I agree with you on that. But the two things I wrote down is self-care can't be on your checklist. Like it's a checklist thing. And I wrote, our hearts know the truth. That blessed my whole spirit right there. Because you're right. Like, I can lie to myself all I want to, but if I'm laying there and I'm saying that I cut off, this is what I learned. When I'm reading my books at night, don't read a business book. That's not helping. Because my brain, and it's taking me forever to read it. And I'm just like, because you're supposed to be reading those romance novels that you love, that you are, like, it's the same story in romance. This happened. They got together. Something caused them to get rid, and they make up at the end. It's the same storyline. But I know how it's gonna end, you know. And I'm not reading erotica, you guys. So don't even get on me about that. I'm not reading that. I'm reading these cutesy things that make me feel good, so I can go to sleep. But it's a good story, and I'm rocking with it. But the business books, you know, that I have, like, I can't read you know, I just can't do it. And I had to tell myself, this is not the time for you to do that. This is the time, because your heart knows. Your heart knows. That's such a good word. I really appreciate you saying that. I know we're running low on time, but I still have a couple of questions. So we're going to get through my questions. So what was the hardest secret to learn?
Oh, I would say, maybe the hardest secret is probably don't fund your loan too soon. I'll tell you why. I do not have a business degree. I have a journalism degree. I'm really good at asking questions and writing things. I'm not great at crunching the numbers. So I have to hire people to do that. I know my place and I don't mind hiring people to help me. Right. What I didn't understand and nobody told me was, okay, you have this business plan. You got the loan. You got the $200,000 loan. It was a huge success. But you don't need to fund it right yet because you still haven't signed your lease. And once you sign your lease and you fund your loan and everything starts, then there is no going back. So we funded that loan. So every month, $6,000, we owed $6,000 on it, $6,000 on it. So by the time we finally signed the lease, we already had gone through, I guess it was $18,000 by the time we'd already gone through it, and it hadn't gone to anything in the business. All it did was repay the loan. So if we had just paid, if I just had the sense to say, banker, what would happen if I waited 30 days? What would happen? It would have eased up the stress that I was putting on myself. So anything financial like that from like in the future, I did consult somebody who was quite savvy and they helped us immensely. So I think that that was the hardest part. And then learning to find who can actually help you, not somebody who says they're some specialist, but they really aren't. You need to find someone who really knows what they're doing. And then that helped me a lot. But that was a hard lesson.
I talk about that a lot, like getting people to help you, getting the right person, because like there'll be gurus, for example, someone is trying to start their business and they are talking, the guru is talking about traffic, how to get traffic. But I said, before you get the traffic, you got to learn all this stuff over here, because they're assuming that you have all this back stuff done because you're at a point where you're ready to get the traffic and turn the traffic up. So you're kind of doing it out of order if you do that. And a lot of times we're making the gurus rich because we're doing things out of order, because we think, oh yeah, they say they can help me do this, but they assumed you had your email marketing together. They assumed that your branding was together. They assumed that, you know, your products and services were together and that you're ready to turn up the volume. And so you actually have to find people, just like you said, who can actually help you with where you are right now. That's so, so important. There are two of your lessons that I thought were great. Oh, number four, it says popularity doesn't always equal profitability. I said, oh my, I think that's the one that made me buy your book immediately. Popularity doesn't always equal profitability. Talk to us about your lesson with that.
Absolutely. So when we started our business, there were a few other facilities in town that were very popular. And so I would always compare my Saturdays to their Saturdays. What are they posting? Oh, look at all their followers. Oh, this is amazing. I can't wait till I'm like that. And then all of a sudden I was like that. I had all the business. I was packed. We had no more spots for birthdays. The finances hadn't changed a lot. They hadn't changed a lot. We might have gone from having to pay into the business every month and now we're breaking even barely. And I remember my girlfriend, it was right at the beginning of Christmas break, and she looks at me from across the playground and she's going like this. Like she looked like a little squirrel. And I said, what are you doing? And she said, you're raking in the dough. This is amazing. And I'm thinking, oh, she thinks that. She thinks that, but we're not. And then when I went to go sell the business, I met with all of my counterparts in the city and I set up this great equipment. I'm selling the business. Do you want it? And they all said, oh, we don't have cash for that. We don't have cash flow. Absolutely not. And it was the first time I realized all of these people are in the same position I'm in. And I've been comparing myself to them for 5 years. I have wasted my time and energy. These people are wonderful people. I think that they probably were cash flowing better than we were, and maybe supporting their lifestyle with the business, their businesses, but they still didn't have extra. I don't want to be a business owner who doesn't have extra. What's the point?
Listen, this is so good. This is so good. I remember, I think it was the end of last year, Heather, reading Phil Knight's story about Nike. and how much for years they struggled, were I mean, just, yeah, they were doing stuff, but it wasn't until they went public that Nike actually became profitable. They were always behind, always needing a loan, always needing a bailout, always getting ready to fold and you know, close the doors, until they got to a point where they went public. And it's like you said, it's the popularity might be out there, but it doesn't mean that it is profitable. I learned years ago that Amazon wasn't even profitable, not to the tune of what their investors had put in, right? Which is mind blowing, right? That is so, so, so good. So you're saying we're looking at people sometimes at a level of popularity that it looks like it's equaling money, and that's just not the case.
Right. And also we can do that when we want to hire someone to do something for us. We think, oh, they're so popular. Well, that doesn't mean that you're going to be so popular because you hire them. Sometimes right. It does, but it's not guaranteed. So we have to be really careful what we place value on and what our idols are. And so I started looking at the wrong things, and I realized, oh, I can buy likes. I can buy followers. Well, they're not going to buy anything. I'm just making my page look better.
Right.
So I think that we all need to remember that when we're thinking that person is doing better than we are, because it's not true. It's a story we're telling ourselves, and it's usually the wrong story.
And it's usually the wrong story. That is so good. Oh, that's such a good lesson. So number six, you said, bad clients teach, good clients preach. That was the second reason why I bought the book. Look, I said, this is so good. Talk to me about that. Where you get that from?
We're going to have bad clients. We're going to have people who make horrible reviews and say mean things to us. And I decided a long time ago that I couldn't put this much time, money, and effort and wait for my family and let these people bother me. So I decided to make them a lesson in my life. If they had something that maybe I should change, maybe I should look at that, I would think about it. I would process it. And sometimes we would make improvements that were amazing. Other times I would just let it go. The preaching, though, we had so many wonderful clients, hundreds of them. And so they preached to all their friends. We've got to pour ourselves into our good clients. So instead of spinning my wheels all day trying to talk to the woman who wrote a bad review, I would talk to the 10 party moms that just had an amazing weekend. And so they go and tell their 10 friends to have a party. We just have to focus on the right things. And focusing on the negative is not going to produce a positive outcome for us. We've got to get off the negative story. And so that's what I just decided. That was what I decided. They're going to teach me a lesson and they're going to preach for me, and I'm going to be happy with both sides.
You know, I never heard it like that, but I love it, because I was having a conversation fairly recently with a client. And prior to that conversation, Heather, I had been thinking about our journey together. And you are absolutely right. Those clients that may not do the things that they need to do, you know, they may not excel, they may not be happy, whatever. If you really trust God, you're going to see that there's a lesson in there, right? There's a lesson for you. It might be a lesson to restructure. It's a lesson to rethink. It's a lesson to redo something. But you really got to focus on what's the good in what we are giving, because we're all going to fail. We fall short of the glory of God all the time. We're all going to fail. We're all going to do things that's not pleasing to people. And especially social media. Oh my God, people could crucify you, but they did Jesus like that. So it's like, we're nobody, we're no different. Right. And so that's such a good lesson, because I think it can help, like you said, to recenter yourself, into, you know, what it is you should be doing. Tell the people. Oh, so I want to end. I know we're low on time, Heather. I'm going to have you back. I'm going to have you back, because we're just like grazing the surface. I want to ask you this last question about your business that you sold. What was the thing that made you decide this was it? I need to sell.
So the year before, I'd had a double mastectomy. And I, at that point, I said, okay, I'm going to get healthy now. This was a wake up call. And a year went by and I hadn't done anything, hadn't gotten healthy, hadn't lost the weight. I hadn't done anything that I was supposed to do. And I spoke with my husband and I said, listen, this isn't improving. And I don't know if it's worth continuing, although it is heartbreaking to think about closing it, because I really thought we were going to have to close it. And then I remember someone approached me to buy it, and then it fell through, and I was sitting in my closet, and it was supposed to close in 3 days, and it fell through. The business itself fell through. And I looked up to my ceiling and I said, God, if this sale goes through, it is all you. Because in the human realm, it makes no sense. It will never sell. And I'll tell you what, it went through 3 days later. And listen, I never looked back. Instead of crying when I handed over those keys, I just glorified God that it wasn't in the rear view mirror, but it was in a way. It was a chapter that I could close and feel good about instead of close the door and just feel trauma from that experience, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
I was able to visit it still and give and hand things over and do all that and watch the kids play and smile and look at the parents making new friends and feel grateful instead of feeling so angry. And so there just came a time when I realized I could not put any more energy into it. And it would be great if someone else could, but if they couldn't, I knew that it was time.
What I appreciate, Heather, my sister, is that, my God, we're talking the same language to our audiences. It's about telling the truth about running businesses, teaching people about lessons, helping people to know how to navigate, you know, where they are in their business to make smart decisions. And even if that means staying where you are for longer than you thought in a job, and it being something that you love, like that, you know, that's part of your life plan, like you said. I think that's lesson number one, right? And so just thank you for the message that you have for us. Heather, I am putting up your website. It is Heather Hayes, HAYS.co, you guys. For those of you guys who are listening, it's also in the description if you want to reach out to Heather to take her up on some learning some things about business that she may be able to help you with, as well as if you want her as a speaker, because she's a dynamic speaker. We all hear that. Make sure you contact her. Heather, talk to them about I'm saying it all. And you guys, with that, you can also go on to Amazon to get the business diary. I just downloaded it. You can order the paperback. You can get it on Kindle. It's on Kindle Reads to be able to have for yourselves. I'm going to be, like you said, it's a quick read. So I'm going to be able to get through it probably Saturday. I'm going to just take time Saturday and just read it all. But I just thank you so much. I want you, Heather, to have the last word. I want you to be able to have the last word before I end us in some thought of prayer.
I just want to tell everyone that if you are struggling in your business and you feel like you did something wrong, know that you haven't. Every time we struggle, we're actually learning a lesson that's going to propel us forward. We are actually making memories with people that we care about, hopefully. And we have to turn negative into positive in any circumstance that we can. And so I truly believe that when you are doing something that's authentic to your soul, you're bringing a product or service to market, and you are being true to yourself, you are a success, whether or not the bottom line says so. You are a success.
Heather, I have been truly, truly blessed by what you're saying. You guys, I tell them all the time, Heather, that most of the time I bring people on because I want to get the information. It's for me. It's for Dr. T, right? It's for me. But you have just dropped so many nuggets. I think it has been fantastic for our audience to be able to hear the things that you're saying, and you're living authentically for the kingdom. So thank you so much for being here. And you guys, I want to end. I just pray that this podcast was a blessing to you like it was a blessing to me, that if you have been thinking about it and you've been struggling with something, as she said, it's a place to learn, and it is something that can still propel you to be doing what you need to be doing for you. I pray that you get what you need out of this podcast, and I will be seeing you guys on the next podcast. Heather, thanks for being here. You guys take care. God bless you. Bye-bye. Hey, sis, before you take off, I'd really appreciate if you took 30 seconds to head over to Apple Podcasts or Spotify to give me a rating for this episode, because as you know, ratings are the most important currency here in this type of platform. Also, if you found this episode helpful, I'd really, really appreciate if you shared it with one of your sister friends that might need this word of encouragement to get started themselves. The more we can share the good news that we're getting here on She Launches Podcast, I believe the more that God will be pleased and the more we can impact the world. Thanks so much, and we'll see you in the next episode.